Well, good evening. Glad that you're here, and praise the Lord that we might be able to spend some time before Him, even in this time. Before we talk about it's just a point of view, let's spend some time in prayer before our Savior. Our dear Heavenly Father, I am grateful so much that we have been able to enjoy this day that has been here with us. For some of it has rained on, and for some it has been more sunny. Father, we thank You that You give us both the rain and the sun. We're grateful, Father, that we might be able to enjoy the fruits of this earth which You have provided to us. We're grateful also that we might be able to even put in the efforts that are here, not because we want to, especially, although that may be true for some, but it is because You've provided it to us for blessing, and that we might have purpose and we might be able to enter into those things which are according to Your will. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we might have that great desire in every way. Thank You so much for Your scriptures. Thank You that we might be able to look into them, some here tonight, and Father, may it be that we can take away the truths that are there and somehow be able to apply them effectively in relationship to the events that we will be faced. Father, may it be that we shall have right answers and good answers. I pray, Father, that we might be able to glorify You and enjoy that which You have for us because of who You are. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. I've pondered back and forth as to just how to enter into this. Eventually, we're going to get to Genesis 1:1, and so you may want to open your Bibles there. But before we directly discuss what is there and move into other scriptures, I would like to suggest that in this day and age, almost everybody that you talk to, if you bring up almost any subject that is common in the airways or among the neighbors or whatever, it's fairly true that most people have their own opinions about things. They have their own point of view. And I suppose that you can have your point of view if you want, but mine's better. I just want you to understand that. Mine's better. Isn't that the way, the attitude that we have as we go down the road? You can get two people together and they'll discuss one thing or another, and each one of them has that opinion. My point of view is better than yours. And so this can get to be a little bit confusing, because as we go down our walk of life, if we have this many people all discussing a particular subject and each one has their own point of view, it can get a little bit confusing, I would think. Wouldn't you probably come to a similar conclusion to that? Now, one of the things that I will do, because I have the best point of view, is that I'm going to try to draw as many of you to my point of view as I can, and if I can, I'm going to outvote all the rest of you. And so you lose anyway. It's my point of view. And so when we look at it and see these kinds of things, this is probably the general manner of activity that goes on in our present day world. And so this is, I just want you to know that my point of view is best point of view, whether you like it or not. That's quite a thing for a fellow to get up in front of a congregation such as this and to say that, you know, really, if you come down to it, I would presume that pastor would like to say, at least in his heart, my point of view is right and the rest of you are wrong if you're different. And that's really the preference that he would like to imply in many occasions. And yet, we could have as many people in here as we want, and each one of you can have your own point of view, and Have you ever considered the possibility that every single one of us are wrong? Every single one of us would be wrong in terms of a point of view. That's a possibility. And so when we look at that, it is a little bit humbling, because then if the one who is wrong is the loudest mouth and is able to gain the most friends, then all of those who follow him still are wrong, even if he thinks he's right. So this is a little bit of an issue that we need to consider. And so as we go along on our daily walk, and obviously if I present my point of view tonight and I'm right, that means you're what? Presumed, anyway, you're wrong. That's the presumption that's involved there. So this, we're coming to an issue of right and wrong when we go this route. And if my point of view is right and you're wrong, it's just obvious you're wrong. And so now we come and we look into this walk of life that we're in, and one of the things that we have a little bit of difficulty with as we go along is that there are few, it could be more than just a few here in this crowd, that say, well, I'm spiritual. Just saying that says that if you're spiritual, that means that it's the implication that maybe the one you're talking to is not. And so the implication is, if the one that you're talking to is not spiritual, because I am spiritual and I have to make that statement, then this becomes a whole another round of events. Obviously, my point of view is better than yours because I'm spiritual, which means you're not. If I were to look at it in a special manner, so then we have all of this that's going along, and the question comes up is, now how do you reply? Because I have just made the declaration, and I've defined everything, and you're on the wrong side. Now, when we go down our walk of life, and you go out into the streets and the highways and the byways that are here in Katanning and Armstrong County and Western Pennsylvania, and obviously this is the finest commonwealth of all commonwealths and states that are here in our country. See, I've already got an amen on this one. This is true. Here we go along, but one of the things that you're likely to find is that your opinion may be in contradiction to that which is the opinion of others who are out there. And so we're going to, at least I'm going to try to present some information over the period of time that hopefully will begin to lay the groundwork so that you might be able to argue and reason with these people and to show that your point of view really is right and they may really be wrong and that you can prove it. Now, that's quite a statement if we go that route. This is an issue that as we go along, it's an issue that needs to have some definition, because if the position I hold is right and everybody else who is different from that point of view is wrong, that really does have some impact in how we live and how we react to people and how we go about our business. And quite frankly, you go to the polling booth and there's a number of people that are on the ballot, and some of them are right and some of them are wrong, or maybe they're all wrong and you're right. Now, can you prove it? Can you go to the point whereby you're able to handle this? I'd like to take a subject just briefly here and approach this. Most of us, as we've gone to school, have attended a school which is similar to Katanning High School or Worthington High School, it used to be, or one of the grade schools or junior highs. What kind of an education did you get? Did you get what would be called a spiritual or a spiritual education? Was it considered that you went to a religious school? What kind of a school was it you went to? Oh, you said a public school. Now, is spiritual and public a contrast with each other? What kind of an education did you get? Did you get a religious education when you went to Katanning High School? Wouldn't the education that you would have gotten at Katanning High School been considered by most to be a secular education? Okay. So that's interesting. If we lay that word secular out there, how many of you have been in religious employment? I'm getting a hand or two or three. How many of you have been in secular employment? Oh, really? Okay, been in secular employment. Now, here's the thing that we're building here is that you have religious employment and you have secular employment, and as we go down this road, then we also have religious opinion and secular opinion. We have your jobs have been secular, your education has been secular for many. When we come to politics, is politics secular or is it religious? Okay. Now, if we're going to define these things out like this, then I ask the question, that's another one here. Another option is we have religious music and secular music. Isn't that the terminology that's common thought of as we go down this road? Now, the question that I have here is that if you're involved in a lot of this secular activity, what does this mean that you've been involved in? It means that if you've been involved in this which is secular and that which is secular and all of this, that means that obviously you're excluding God from all of this, because that's spiritual and that's religious, right? So politics is excluding God. That makes it secular. Education is excluding God. That would be secular. Music would be excluding God. That would make it secular. Then we have, we have these kinds of things that are there. When we're looking at this, then are you living a life that is a worldly life and has nothing to do with godliness? Isn't that a question to think about? Now, one of the things that we have, and this is a teaching that most of us have received most of our lives, is that we divide our universe into that which is religious and that which is secular. Now, today, you're doing religious duty because you've gone to church. And as soon as you leave the building here, then you enter into the secular part of your life. That's the thinking that generally is of the opinion in our world today. As long as you're in church and you're participating in church activities, which is Sunday school or morning worship or evening worship or prayer meeting, or maybe you go on a mission trip or you go to church camp or something like this, that's religious, but everything else is secular. And if you're saying that, if you're understanding it from the point of view of many who are, probably most who are in this world, you are dividing your life into that which includes God and that which excludes God. Now, politics, whatever it is, parts of it include and part of it exclude. And so now here's where we are running into a very interesting thing. It's all as a matter of a point of view. It's all a matter of a point of view. Now, I'd like to suggest that there's another way of looking at this, in that we would have, whether it's home or church or business. By the way, you have secular businesses too, don't you? And then you have religious businesses like Christian day schools. You have that's the thinking that's there. You have all of these things, home, school, work, the games that you play, all of these things. The world tends to divide it from religious to secular, two different things. Now let's, instead of dividing it from religious to secular, let's turn it the other way around. Let's turn it so that the line is vertical, and instead of having religious and secular, you have that which is according to light and that which is according to darkness. Now, if we look at it this way, education could be according to light or it could be according to darkness. Work could be according to that which is, by the way, who is the light of the world? Jesus is the light of the world. Who is the darkness of the world? So Satan's the darkness of the world, the devil. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, Satan likes to masquerade as the light, but he's not. He's darkness. So then if you divide it the other way around, so that you have light and darkness, then if you have work, are you doing it according to light, or are you according to the ways of Satan? Then if you have politics, are you doing it according to light or according to darkness? Then if you have employment, let's see, work, employment, family, you have even, by the way, there are even secular churches. There are. They say so. Unitarian would be one that would be particularly bold in that statement. But you have those who are according to light or those who are according to darkness. Now that divides everything out in a whole different way. And then when we come to Genesis chapter 1, what does it say? Someone read it for me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, that's enough. That's good enough. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now there's a presumption that's here. There's a presumption in the Bible that everything looks to this as the presumption of all of the thinking of everything you think. That there is a beginning, but in the beginning, God. He already exists. Now, the secularist says, no, there's no God, and they don't know when the beginning was, but if there was a beginning, God didn't have any part in it, and they said then there was a boom, and everything came and began to form and eventually come to be what we are today. There are two points of view, that which is God and that which is no God. Now, this is very, very important that we understand where we're coming from as we do our thinking. We need to understand that there is that which is according to light and that which is according to darkness. That which is according to light comes from God, who is the source of light and the source of all knowledge, all understanding. He is the source of everything. He is the one who has put things together, and by his word, not only creates it, but holds it together. By the very breath of God, all of this comes to be. So here we have that, and then we have the people who are of darkness. They don't really know where things came from, but they somehow seem to know that it didn't come from God. They don't have any history for it, but it is a presumption that they make because they cannot accept that which is according to light and that which is according to knowledge. And so they do that which is not according to knowledge. They have no history. They have no resource to come to the point of view that something happened out of nothing, except they think it has. But that's not knowledge. That's presumption. We at least have knowledge because it's recorded and given to us by an intelligent source, that which is our God, who is the source of all knowledge. This is very, very important as we go down this road and think these thoughts and go these ways. In fact, if we were to go to Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, we would find that there's an expansion to this knowledge. Colossians 1, we go to verse 16, 17, and 18. It goes there and it says, "For by him," by the way, the presumption there is God, which is in verse 15. "For by him were all things created, that were in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have" what? That means come first. He might have the preeminence. Come first. All things, whatever it is, whatever thought is related to it, we must put him first. Put him first. And so, as we're doing this and as we're seeing this, this is the foundation of everything that we ought to think. Everything that we ought to think. By him, everything comes first. He is the one who is the source of everything, and because he created things... By the way, the secularist, or what we might call the naturalist, says that I can only know things that are physical. Now, you've heard that before. I can only know things that I can see, that I can hear, that I can touch. With my five senses, I can sense what's there. There is no knowledge outside of that. Oh, wait a minute. As soon as they use the word knowledge, it is not something you touch or see or feel or hear. It is not something that you can examine using the scientific point of view. Thought itself is non-tangible, cannot be touched, cannot be grasped. And so as soon as we go to powers and dominions and thoughts and things like this, they're already taking this and they're trying to tell to you, according to a system of logic, that they know something. But the very situation of logic itself is non-tangible, and so they can't know if they demand that everything is physical. They can't know. So it's contradictory, and their whole system falls apart. And so what's happening here is that which they teach according to naturalism falls apart because they have to use the very knowledge, the very stuff that's mentioned here in Colossians 1, as we just read. They have to depend on that in order to make their argument even to you. It's very curious as we go this way. Now, I started this evening talking about that which is according to secular and that which is religious. The argument that you should have put forward as soon as someone were to put that argument to you is that I don't accept that argument of secular and religious or secular and spiritual. I don't accept the premise that this is even something worth discussing. Because everything came from God, therefore everything is spiritual in source, and from the one who is the eternal spirit, and therefore to be arguing this secular spiritual stuff is foolishness, because it has to do with that which is according to light or knowledge, and that which is according to darkness or ignorance. Isn't this interesting as we begin to look at this? Now, what I'd like to do tonight is to spend some time, the last few minutes, going through the preview of a film that I have picked up from Answers in Genesis that has to do with the ability to make this statement. Remember I told you that you can say with confidence, you are wrong. You may not be able to persuade them, but you're able to close their mouths and to close their way of thinking in a way which says, I am right, as long as you're depending upon the Word of God for your rightness and not yourself. And so we're beginning a series in this as we go through this, and I hope that this will be helpful to you. And if I can get this started now. You need to have your worldview challenged, or to challenge the ability to challenge the worldview of those who are around us. The worldview is, if it's right, is the absolute. If the worldview is related to the Creator God, it's right. And if the worldview that other people hold, which causes them to have their twisted opinions about the evidence that's there, and you're able to challenge the worldview, then you're going to come to the place whereby at least, and I'm going to say this, you don't change their opinions, you don't necessarily persuade them, but it will come to the place where their mouths will be stopped when they have no answer to the things that they come that you face them with. It's not our place to convert them. It's our place to teach and to preach the truth and to present to them that which is right. And that they have, and when they can come, when you can come to the place where they have no answer that they can give, which is the reality of where we ought to be and where we work with people, we come to the place where their mouths are stopped and they're unable to teach any further. And that doesn't mean we change their opinion or that we convince them, but we can stop the wrong doctrine and the wrong teaching, and we can take them to the point whereby they have no choice but either deny the truth or accept the truth. And we can take them to the truth, and we can do it convincingly, we can do it logically, and we can do it in a manner whereby they have the ability to say no more. And so this is going to be one of the points that he's going to give as we move on through things that he teaches, and I'll be presenting hopefully ancillary or helpful material along the way to get to where we're going. But while we cannot save them, we cannot force them to believe, we can take them to the point to where they have no more answer. And we can say and we can know, because we have the Scriptures, which is the source, that we are right and they are wrong. Isn't that interesting? That we might be able to have at least that resource available to us. And so let's bow in prayer as we close in our evening. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege we have of meditating upon your truths, that you are the one who is the source of all. And because of this, we then have the ability to have an answer for each and every one as they would speak against the truth. Father, may we be careful, may we be understanding, and may we learn these truths to the degree of whereby we might be able to practice them, and whereby we might be able to not answer the fool as a fool, but answer the fool in such a manner whereby there will be knowledge that will be expressed and potentially gained should they choose to walk another direction. Thank you that we have you as our resource, and that we have you as the one who is over all, and that we might be able to live in the blessings of this salvation that you've made for us. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.